let's get ready for the Word of God this morning and what the Lord has for us from His Word. And I know that God's going to minister to you today as we talk about our resurrected Savior. And what I want to talk about this morning is we're calling it the cover-up. The cover-up. You know they tried to cover up the resurrection. They tried to hide it. They tried to cover it up and pretend like it never happened. And they're still doing that. We're still trying to cover up this thing. Nobody wants to deal with it. We're going to deal with it. And we're going to look past the cover-up today and what you might be covering up in your life, what you might be ignoring, and we want the Word of God to just minister to you. So let's just open up with prayer. Father, we love You so much, and we thank You, God, for Your goodness. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for what You desire to speak to us. We thank You, God, that You are faithful in all Your ways. And I just ask You right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, to speak the Word of God to the hearts and minds of every person that is listening, that is within the hearing of this broadcast, Lord, this morning, of this service. I ask, Lord, that they hear the Word of God and that it goes into their hearts and speaks to them in a special way. We give You all the praise. We give You all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we're talking about the cover-up. So let's look at the Word of God this morning, and let's just look at what happened, and let's see what lesson we can learn from it, because it's a pretty neat lesson. I think you're going to enjoy looking at this and what the Lord has to speak to our hearts. We're going to start in the book of Matthew, chapter 27, and we're going to begin at verse 62. We're going to go through these verses, and then we're going to talk about what they mean. And we're going to be looking at different passages this morning, but we're starting in Matthew chapter 27, verse 62. And the verse says, "On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate." This was right after Jesus had died. "And they said, 'Sir, we remember while He was still alive how that deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise. Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day.'" They were saying, let's do something about that. Let's make the tomb secure at least until the third day. Why? Look what he says. "Lest his disciples come by night and steal him away. And then they say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead,' so that last deception will be worse than the first." Let's do something about it, because we're afraid his disciples are going to come and steal him, steal his body. And then they're going to tell everybody he was risen from the dead, and we're going to have a bigger problem than we've got now. So we want to do something about that. We want to put a guard there. We want to put protection. We want to stop them from stealing his body. And the next verse says, "Pilate said to them, 'You have a guard, go your way. Make it as secure as you know how.'" Remember, Pilate had washed his hands of this whole thing. He really didn't want any more to do with it. But they needed a Roman guard. They needed that because that was the law of the land. And they wanted this to be legal, and they wanted it to be binding. So they went to Pilate, and they were asking for a Roman guard. And he said, "Okay, you've got your guard. Go make the tomb as secure as you know how." And we know from the Word of God that they put the stone and they sealed the stone. The next verse says they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone. They put a Roman seal, making it against the law to break that seal or to open that tomb. So not only did they have guards around it, they put a Roman seal on it, the highest authority in the land. No greater power in the earth, the greatest power in the earth, stamped its seal on that stone and dared anybody to break it and said, "This is by our authority. You cannot break the seal of this stone, and you cannot enter into this tomb." And they set a guard around it. I want you to look at this scene. Jesus has died, was crucified on the cross. He hung on that cross 6 hours from 9 o'clock in the morning to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, pushing up and down on that cross, trying to breathe and trying to get air, dying for the sins of the world. And when he died on that cross, he cried, "It is finished." And they thrust a spear in his side. And the Bible says blood and water gushed out, which would indicate that the spear went through his lungs and into his heart. He was dead. He was dead. The one that they thought was the Messiah, the one that they thought was the King, the one that they thought could come and deliver was gone. And the Bible says the disciples scattered. They were afraid. They were frightened. They were confused. They were disillusioned. They were worried. And then Jesus was taken off the cross and was laid in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. He had to borrow a tomb from a rich man. And Jesus was buried. They put a stone over it. They put a Roman seal on it. And they put a guard on it and made it illegal against Roman law to enter into that tomb. I just want you to see how hopeless everything looks. It looks totally hopeless. He was going to be the King of Israel. He was going to be the Messiah. He was going to be the deliverer. He was going to change everything. He was going to sit on his throne in Jerusalem. Now he's gone. And the disciples have scattered. They're hiding. Everything looked hopeless Saturday night. Everything looked dark Saturday night. Everything looked bleak Saturday night. But what a difference a day makes. What a difference a day makes. Folks, I'm going to tell you something about God. I don't care how dark it looks. I don't care how bleak it looks. I don't care how worried you might be about a situation. There is nothing in our lives right now, even, that is bigger than God. I got to tell you something. God wasn't worried about that tomb. And God wasn't worried about that Roman guard. And God wasn't worried about that Roman seal. The Jewish priests were totally concerned that the disciples would come and steal the body of Jesus. Do you know how silly these guards? So they set the guards around the tomb. Do you know how silly these guards look to God? Can you imagine the angels coming to God and saying, "God, we got a problem." What's the problem? They put a Roman seal on that. They put a Roman seal on that stone. They put a guard around that tomb. What are we going to do? No, I don't think heaven was worried about it at all. God wasn't worried about it. Do you know how small that looked to him? The God who created everything, the God who holds everything in the palm of his hands. Do you know how small that Roman guard looked to him? How silly that was? He must have laughed out loud when they said, "We want a guard to protect the tomb." God must have thought that was just the funniest thing. But you see, they didn't know what the problem was. The problem wasn't keeping somebody out. See, they were trying to keep the disciples out. They put a seal so nobody would come and try to get in. That's what they thought the problem was, keeping the disciples out. That wasn't the problem. The problem they had was keeping somebody in. The problem they had was keeping Jesus in that tomb. And God wasn't worried about it one bit. Now, let's move on in our narrative, in our story, and let's look at what the Word of God says. So we know now that they came and they asked for a guard, and Pilate granted that to them. So they were given a guard and they placed it around the tomb. So we know that. Let's look at Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to read verses 1 through 6. It says, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn," that's the morning that Jesus rose from the grave, the first day of the week, a Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. They had not been able to anoint the body of Jesus when they buried him properly, according to Jewish custom, because the Sabbath was approaching and they just ran out of time. So they had intended to come back after the Sabbath and finish. The Bible says, "Behold, there was a great earthquake. Ground began to shake. These ladies are approaching the tomb. They're probably even looking at the tomb by now, and the ground begins to shake. And it says, the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. Now look at this. And the guards, remember the guards, they've been camping around that tomb. The guards shook for fear and became like dead men. Guess what? They were there. They were there. They saw the resurrection up close and personal. They saw the angel. They saw and felt the earthquake. They had a front row seat. They saw it. They witnessed it. Their hearts were consumed with fear. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? They were filled with fear, fell prostrate on the ground like dead men, just passing out. And the angel said, the angel answered and said to the women, don't be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he's not here. Amen. For he is risen. He said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. Come see where he was. The stone was rolled back, not so Jesus could get out. He didn't need anybody to let him out. He could walk through walls. Stone was rolled back so that the world could see. Amen. The stone was rolled back so that the world could see. World could see what? The tomb was empty. The tomb was empty. He wasn't in it. I love what another version says. The angel told them, he is not here. Well, he said, why do you seek the living among the dead? Why are you looking for Jesus in a graveyard? He's not here. He is risen, just like he said he would. And come see the place where he was. Come see the place where he lay. Everything was quiet early that morning. The ladies are arriving at the tomb. And then there's this massive shaking and a flash of lightning. And an angel just is there. He appears. And he rolled back the stone. And I love this picture. It says he sat on it. He just kind of reclined, you know. Reclined back on the stone. And he sat on the stone and he let the world see that the tomb was empty. So other versions say that the grave clothes were folded up. So Jesus must have folded up the grave clothes so he could show his disciples. This was not a crime scene. This was not people sneaking in and grabbing a body and hurriedly getting out. This was a deliberate act of God. The clothes neatly folded up, and the guards saw it. They were there. They saw it. They were witnesses to one of the greatest events, the greatest event that has ever taken place, the resurrection of Jesus. Everything hinges on the resurrection. I love the cross. And without the cross, there is no salvation. But the cross means nothing if Jesus doesn't come out of that grave. The cross means nothing if there's not a resurrection. He's alive. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He gives us his life. He is alive, and we celebrate that life today. Now we're going to continue in our story, and here's the cover up. We've seen the guards placed around the tomb. We've seen that the guards were witnesses to the single greatest event that has ever taken place. They saw firsthand the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. They saw the earthquake. They saw the angel. They saw the stone rolled back, and they fell in fear. Now, Matthew 28, and I'm going to read verses 11 through 15. Now while we were going, behold, some of the guards came into the city and reported to the chief priest all the things that had happened. And they were speaking of going to the tomb. Some of the guards came into the city and they reported to the chief priest all the things that had happened. Now I just want us to pause right here because I love this. And it doesn't tell us, but I really hope that Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea were there. They were a member of the Sanhedrin. They were a member of the priestly leadership of Israel. And here's why I hope they were there. The priests are gathered around, probably saying things like, you know, we don't have to worry about this Jesus character anymore. We don't have to, all this talk about the Son of God, all this talk about the Messiah, all this, we don't have to worry about that anymore. That's all been taken care of now. Everything's good. He's been crucified. He's buried. This is all going to disappear. It's going to all be over. And I can see them congratulating themselves and patting themselves on the back. And they're just having this little celebration because everything is good. When all of a sudden these Roman soldiers come rushing in and their eyes are like saucers. They're sweating bullets. They're trembling. They're shaking. There's something has happened. And they're like, guys, what's going on? What's taking place? And they walk in and they say, we were at the tomb. And suddenly this angel appeared whose clothes were white as snow. And he had the appearance of lightning. There was lightning and the ground began to shake. And he took his hand and ripped that Roman seal right off and rolled that stone back. He did it with one arm. And then he sat on it and smiled. We saw it. We were there. And when he rolled back the stone, the tomb was empty. This Jesus of Nazareth was gone. I love this. What do you think? I would love to have a camera of the picture on those guys' faces when they heard that. I mean, they were shocked. But if Nicodemus and Joseph or Arimathea were there, they were going, we told you. We tried to tell you. We tried to tell you he was the Messiah. We tried to tell you he was the real deal. We tried to tell you. Now, here's kind of the crux of my message. Wouldn't you think, with all the miracles that Jesus did, with all the people that followed him, with everything they heard, with everything they saw, blind men being given their sight, dead men being raised to life, the deaf hearing, wouldn't you think with all the miracles that Jesus performed, that even the religious leaders of Israel would have fallen at his feet, that even they would have repented, that even they would have seen the truth? You would think. But if ever there was a day when they should have fallen on their faces and repented, it was this day. When those soldiers ran into that room and said, "You're not going to believe what we saw." You think this would have been the time to repent. This would have been the moment. But look at the next verse. They assembled the elders and they consulted together. And they gave a large sum, look at this, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers. Here's the cover up. Rather than face the truth, rather than confront the truth, rather than fall on their face and repent, here's the cover up. They gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and they told them, "You tell this story. His disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, if it gets to the governor, we'll take care of it. We'll appease him. We'll make you secure." Because Roman guards sleeping on duty was punishable by death. So the priests were asking them to tell a story that would put their lives in jeopardy. And the priest said, "We'll take care of it, but you tell this lie." Well, why? Why tell a lie? Why tell a lie? I'll tell you why. The tomb is empty. Do you know what this story proves more than any other? The tomb was empty and they had a problem. See, if Jesus is still in the tomb, none of this is necessary. But the tomb was empty. Jesus wasn't in it. So they had to make up a story. They needed a cover up. And they had to make up a lie. So they concocted a lie. And it wasn't even a good lie. It wasn't even a good lie. But they took the money. And the Bible says it was a lot of money. You know, and I say it wasn't a good lie, if they were sleeping, how could they know it was the disciples that came and stole the body? You know? So that doesn't make sense. And the fact that a guard of Roman soldiers sleeping couldn't hear a bunch of men rolling a stone away and moving, you know, it was a horrible lie. And it, you know what it shows? It shows the desperation. They were desperate to make up something and to cover it up. It's hard to believe that they couldn't just give in to the truth. It's hard to believe that they couldn't just bow their knee and recognize this man really is the Messiah, but they would rather cover it up. Now, here's the rub. We do the same thing. Our society does the same thing. Our world does the same thing. We would rather look the other way. We would rather cover it up than face the truth. We don't like the truth. It makes us uncomfortable. Folks, when you stare at an empty tomb, it requires something from you. When you stare at an empty tomb, it demands an answer. When you stare at an empty tomb, it demands you bow your knee. We hunt Easter eggs, we do all kinds of things, and I'm not saying a lot of our traditions are bad. I'm not trying to do that to you. I'm trying to show you how the enemy distracts us. That the first thing should not be our personal traditions. The first thing ought to be Jesus. And the first thing ought to be that empty tomb. But we'd rather look the other way, and we'd rather cover it up. And we often do this. We avoid truth in our lives. We avoid truth in our lives because we just don't want to see the truth. So here we are today, staring at an empty tomb. There's no denying the tomb was empty. Amen? There's no denying it. It was empty. And we have to do something about that. You can try looking away. You can try being distracted. You can ignore it. You can act like it didn't happen, but it's still there. It's still there. What do you do about it? It's amazing to me that the priest and soldiers could go on ignoring what they knew. Because they knew. They knew something happened. See, everything hinges on the tomb being empty. You might think Jesus was just a good man. He lived and he died. That's all there was to it. But if that tomb is empty, he was God. If that tomb was empty, he was God. He was everything that he said he was. So let me ask you something today as we wrap this up. Are you trying to guard an empty tomb? Are you looking the other way? Are you trying to just ignore what happened? Are you looking right at it? Have you accepted Satan's bribe to be quiet and look the other way and ignore it? Here's what I'm trying to tell you. If Jesus is everything he said he was and everything we say he is and everything that we believe, our passion for Jesus ought to be first and foremost. It ought to be all-consuming as I stare at that empty tomb. We can't just keep God in a box on a table, bring him out when it's convenient. It's like a genie in a bottle that we call on when we need him. No. There's an empty tomb. So let's don't cover it up. Let's don't be closet Christians. Let's declare that I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I don't want a guard around my heart protecting me from his power and from his love. I want us all to stare at that empty tomb right now. I want you to look at it. It's empty. He is not there. I want you to hear what that angel said. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. Just as we're here right this moment, our Savior is alive. So let's declare it. Let's declare it. Let's declare it from the mountaintops. Let's let it roar. Jesus is alive. My Savior lives. He has conquered death. He has defeated it. And I'm not ashamed. I boldly proclaim it and I declare it and I don't look the other way and I don't shuffle my feet and I don't try to hide it. I'm not ashamed. I look directly at the empty tomb and I boast in the Lord Jesus Christ. That stone was rolled away so that whatever stones in your life, they can be rolled away too. Right now, he can move whatever stone, whatever hurt, whatever fear, whatever worry, whatever anxiety is holding you back. That's the power of an empty grave. That's the power of an empty tomb. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much and we thank you, God, for your awesome presence. We thank you, Lord, for coming and touching us right now. We thank you, Lord, for being with us. We thank you that your presence is so awesome. And we thank you, Lord, that you are risen, that you live, that you conquered the grave. Lord, if there's anybody right now out there that just hasn't bowed their knee, they've looked this way and they've looked that way, but they never really just looked at that empty tomb. Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray that they would bow that knee and not try to cover it up, not try to hide it, not try to excuse it, not try to explain it away, but accept it. And just to accept Jesus right now. I pray for every person hearing that needs you in their life, that they would bow before that empty tomb. That they would look at the cross. They would see the manger. That there's no denying something happened. Lord, for every person hearing right now that has needs in their life, that has problems, that it all looks overwhelming and they don't know what they're going to do, Lord, let us look at an empty tomb. Let us look at a stone that was rolled away. Let us look at the resurrection power of God who brought his son from the grip of death. And let us see the power of God. And right now in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you roll away all the stones that the enemy has tried to close up the people of God with and to shut away their blessings and to rob them of their life and their resurrection. It doesn't matter what the enemy does. He can stamp a seal and he can say, this is by my power and you can't do anything about it. But God is greater. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Thank you, Father. Thank you for touching everybody right now. Thank you for healing. Thank you for blessing. Thank you for deliverance. And we ask this all in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.